Check this out.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
All aboard!
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Deontay.
Shannon.
Have you tried? This is a secret between us that they don't sell out.
Okay.
Have you tried the dark chocolate Oreo cookie?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Deontay. Game changing.
Oh.
I bought a pack and I had to throw them away.
So because you didn't eat all of them?
Not because they kept making me sick. But they were so good I could not. I had to keep eating them.
Really?
If you've not tried the dark chocolate Oreo,
I can't even tell.
It made my tongue tingle.
Ooh.
And that's a little bit creepy to say, I realize, but it legitimately made my tongue tingle.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It is that good.
I love a good Oreo.
Did you hear about the Girl Scouts and the drug guy?
No.
Okay, so there were a couple little girls walking around selling Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in South Carolina. And this guy walks up. He's like, let me have 7 boxes. And he gets his 7 boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees that another little Girl Scout is standing there to sell cookies. And she's shivering because it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy goes and gets his car. And he buys all of the Girl Scout cookies that they have, which was like $550.
Wow.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a lot of cookies.
Nice.
And so the Girl Scout mom takes a picture of the guy
mm-hmm.
with the girls. She's like, this guy just did the best thing ever. We can get out of the cold. And then like 2 days later, maybe the guy gets arrested for being a drug trafficker.
Oh, my God.
And so apparently, he had used his drug trafficking money to buy $550 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And then he got arrested. Now, they said that the picture that the mom took and posted had nothing to do with his arrest.
Uh-huh.
It was just a coincidence that everything kind of happened at the same time. But my question is, now that the Girl Scouts know that it was most likely drug money that bought all of those cookies,
mm-hmm.
can they keep it?
Yes.
Or is it dirty money that they want no part of?
No, it's only dirty money. Well, I guess I'm thinking in a laundry making way, like a laundering money kind
uh-huh.
of way.
Uh-huh.
So it would only really be dirty money if he paid for the cookies and then somehow that money got back to him.
Okay. So the Girl Scouts can take the drug money and feel good about it.
Yep.
Because
Holla.
They did their job.
Yep. Sold the cookies.
Okay. Are you still having to do the Girl Scout cookie
thing? We're done.
Thing? Okay.
We're done. I mean, I still have cookies that I need to deliver to people, but so over it.
What a whooping.
It really is.
I don't think I could ever be a Scout parent.
It's a beatdown. We didn't even go hardcore this year, and it was just... And then Sydney was like, well, did you buy us cookies? No. I just was trying to get rid of the... I mean, we still probably have, I don't know, 25 boxes left,
mm-hmm.
but whatever. I just don't even care anymore.
Oh, that bad?
Just over it. Well, even if we never deliver the rest of the cookies that we have, I don't care.
Well, I mean, from what you say, when are you possibly going to go stand outside of a convenience store or whatever and sell cookies with your kid?
No. So you either, you can do that individually.
Uh-huh.
So if you know someone who has a business, or if you want to go like into the Walgreens and say, hey, can we set up a booth outside your store or whatever? You can do that, or you can just sell your inventory to people like you know.
Okay.
So, you know.
That's the route that you choose to take.
Yes. Yeah, because we didn't even, our troop didn't even do the big booth sales where you do like big box stores like, you know, Target mm-hmm. or the grocery store or Walmart or whatever. We didn't even do that this year.
I think if I had a Girl Scout, we would be standing in the middle of the street during rush hour traffic.
Oh.
Selling that stuff.
That would be smart.
Wouldn't it though? And
yep.
we would have a square. So we could take credit cards.
There you go. That's the way to go.
And we would have a sign that said, we take credit cards. You have no excuse.
Exactly.
Look away and feel guilty right now if you're not going to buy our cookies. But I sometimes I think about, I know that I'm a really good aunt.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a great aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage my nephews to do everything that they can. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the day, I get to give them back to mom and dad.
Right.
No matter what mood they're in, no matter what we've done that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of done with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could be that parent that had my kid doing 8,000 different things.
Yeah.
Like you. I mean, you're that parent that has your kid uber involved in everything that they will possibly do.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to find a balance of what you what they're interested in and what you kind of want to push them to be interested in. Mm-hmm. Sydney just turned 11. And for her birthday, I mean, she got regular stuff, but I wrote her this really long note. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I told her, we've had kind of a rough patch because she's starting to hit that like hormonal and it's getting rough around the house.
Right.
And so we, you know, kind of go at it and then I put her in her place and then she comes back and apologizes and then we love each other again and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten kind of stressful. So I wrote her this long note and just told her, you know, about how proud I am of her and how, you know, she's my one girl. She was the one girl, you know, I really, really wanted a girl. So she was the child I prayed for my whole life. I've always wanted a little girl. She really, as sassy as she really is everything that I've ever wanted. Mm-hmm. She is smart and she is funny and she's driven and she's just all of the things. She has great friends. She's a good friend to her friends. She's just a really great kid. But I told her, I said, you know, I know we've had some rough spots and we're going to have more. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. And I know a lot of times you feel like I'm making you do things that you don't want to do.
Right.
But it's because I'm on the other side of it. And now as an adult, I can look back and see the things that I wish my mom or my mom and dad had kind of pushed me to do, or not force, mm-hmm. but, you know, I mean, I played sports really early on, mm-hmm. and then I quit. I mean, and I wasn't like, you know, some super athlete, but I was okay. And so I kind of wish I had continued with that.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I was the oldest and I had two little brothers, or I had a brother and a sister and they were a lot younger. And so my mom, both of my parents worked. They didn't have the time to run me to, you know, a million right. different activities. But I have that flexibility. Self-employed, I work from home, so even though I spend most of my day in the car, I have the flexibility of putting my kids in multiple activities and running them back and forth. And a lot of days I do spend the bulk of my day, you know, in the car and running people here and running people there. But I don't want them to look back and think, I wish I had stuck with this, or mm-hmm. I wish I had, you know, blah blah blah.
I feel like they missed out on anything because of you, in a way.
What do you mean?
I know I have to tread lightly.
No, you don't.
I do for my what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But I know, like, I probably would have done a whole lot more if I would have had a support system.
Oh, yeah.
Behind me, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit more than I did. And my parents, they worked. They did all that they could. Mm-hmm. And their focus was meeting our needs.
Yeah.
And so the wants mm-hmm. weren't always at the forefront of our lives.
Right.
And so I kind of wonder, you know, what would I have been a better soccer player if maybe, mm-hmm. you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think that too. And we, I mean, probably had the flexibility to do more things. But my mom even said, you know, I mean, if I didn't want to do something, she was like, okay, well, I don't want to force her. Well, you know, when you're 11, you don't know what you're going to want when you're 18. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to want when you're 14 or 15.
Right.
So Sydney is, out of the three of them, she is the most athletic. She is naturally athletically gifted. I don't know. She got it from her dad. She certainly didn't get it from me.
Yeah, I've seen the little soccer clips that you post on Facebook, and she is really aggressive.
She is.
And really good.
She is. And she's always been, you know, real coordinated and that kind of thing. She's in dance, and she does all these things. So she'd played soccer for several years. We started when she was 3 or 4, just playing blah, blah, blah soccer. But as she got older, I always kept her on the co-ed teams
uh-huh.
because my feeling was if she played with boys, then when she played with the girls, when she moved to the all-girls team, she would be prepared and, you know, aggressive enough to play mm-hmm. against the boys. And so we've had trouble finding her a solid team, like a team that's played together kind of over and over. So she's kind of jumped around. She's never really kind of bonded with one team. And mm-hmm. so I think that's part of the reason she kind of wasn't interested in playing anymore. But the very last season that she played outdoor, she was on a co-ed team. She had a great coach who was a high school coach. And I could see, though, she was still a little timid. And you would see when she was playing, you would see spurts of she'd kind of get aggressive and then she'd kind of pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I knew she had it in her. So I pulled her to the side one day and I was like, listen, you are better than these girls and you are better than most of these boys. So stop backing down. You don't have a backing down personality.
Right.
You just don't. So you get out there, and if some boy pushes up against you, you push back. If he's coming towards you, you go towards him. You don't stop. You are a badass. I said, and you aren't allowed to say it, but you can think it in your head. And when you see some boy coming up to you and he's got the ball, you go to him because he thinks you're going to back down because right. you're a girl. But you're not because you're a badass. So every game I tell her, you know, be a badass. Go get him. But then she didn't want to play anymore. She decided she was done playing soccer. And she was in so many other activities. I kind of felt bad, you know, forcing her. But then we had some friends who were going to play on an indoor team.
Mm-hmm.
So we put her in indoor. It was, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, no practices, blah, blah, blah. She liked it and it was good. So she's done indoor a couple of seasons. But right. last season, she played in the summer. And then one of the parents from that team wanted her to play on their outdoor team.
Okay.
And she didn't want to do it. She pitched a fit. I don't want to play and blah, blah, blah. And Kelly looked into it and was going to sign her up, but she pitched such a fit. He said, okay, I'm going to give you one pass. So you don't want to play this season? Okay, I'll let you sit out. So then she played another round of indoor that we just finished a few weeks ago
mm-hmm.
for winter. And then they asked her again to come back to play outdoor spring. She didn't want to do it. Kelly signed her up anyway. He's like, you're playing. I already gave you your one pass. You know, you're playing. And she's doing really well and she's enjoying it.
Right.
So I think sometimes you have to, like, push them to get over the hump. Because I think a lot of times our natural, I mean, even as adults, our natural inclination is just to say no.
Right.
And I do have my kids in a lot of activities. And so every day they're like, what do we have to do today? And on days when we don't have anything, they're like, oh, good. I'm like, listen, it's not like your schedules are booked 24/7. You have plenty of time to sit around and watch TV and all that good stuff. So it's not like they're completely overscheduled,
mm-hmm.
but they do a lot. And I think it's important to expose them to a lot of things now so that as they get older, they know what they enjoy and they don't feel like, I wish I had learned to play the piano, or I wish I had learned to dance, or whatever right. it is.
I get that. I mean, and that's I think that's a really good way of parenting. And if nothing else, even if they aren't ever good at anything
mm-hmm.
necessarily, at least it's one way of keeping them out of trouble.
Yeah.
And keeping them focused on other things.
Yeah.
Because a child with too much time on their hands is a child that's going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
And so if nothing else in that sense, you're doing them a huge favor.
Yeah. And I think the social aspect of it is really big, too. You meet friends, you kind of build like a network, and then they have people to hang out with.
Right.
So you can spend the night with so-and-so on Saturday night or Friday night because y'all have a game Saturday morning. Or with three kids, at some point you're going to need somebody to help you pick up somebody from practice or take right. somebody. So then you start to get to know other parents, and you're like, hey, can you bring my kid home? Or I'll take him and you pick him up, or whatever. And then you kind of, it expands, I think, their
the village.
Yeah. Well, but then they also, I think, get to the opportunity to meet different people and different kinds of people.
Because mm-hmm.
I think if you're really kind of just going to school, like we really just live like in our little bubble. We're kind of in like a 5-mile radius and all of our activities are really right there.
Mm-hmm.
They play sports with the same people that they go to school with. We go to school with a lot of people that we go to church with. So we really do have like a limited circle. So when you kind of branch out and you start to meet people from even just the next city over or different races and ethnic backgrounds and religions and all of that, I think it's just important to kind of expose your kids to what the real world looks like outside of your bubble.
It's definitely a way to keep them from experiencing culture shock.
Yeah.
Because school, I mean, of course, we all have to go to school. Education's important, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard to find people with a lot of things in common, mm-hmm. I guess. I was always intimidated by school.
Mm.
I mean, I was smart, mm-hmm. but I wasn't good at the social aspect of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at making friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm painfully awkward, and that's always been the case. It's
right.
not a choice. I promise. It's just the way that I am. And so when I finally got into high school and I started doing, not bragging, speech and debate
mm-hmm.
and going on tournament trips And, you know, having to stay in a hotel room with my other debate team members mm-hmm. overnight kind of forced me to suck it up.
Yeah.
Accept the fact that, yeah, I'm awkward and I don't really enjoy the social stuff, but it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And it really pushed me to be something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I that's probably not the right way to say it.
Well, no, it pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. A ton.
Yeah.
A ton. And I'm grateful for that now.
Yeah.
Because I definitely probably would not have had the courage to insist that the radio station hire me when I was still in high school.
Right.
Had it not been for that. So, you know, it was a game changer.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that anybody forced me to do. It was just that I knew I needed something.
Mm-hmm.
I needed something with some people that were my age. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of what I've kind of done with Sydney, her not wanting to play soccer and us saying, well, too bad, you have to.
Right.
Like, you're just going to. And she doesn't have any, she's like me, she can make friends with anybody. So she doesn't have, it's not like it's going to take her 6 weeks to warm up to the people she plays soccer with.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have that. But going into it, she's like, well, how many people am I going to know? I don't know. But I mean, you'll work it out. And those are lessons that you'll need later in life. You need to be able to introduce yourself to someone that you've never met before.
Right.
You need to be able to walk across a room by yourself. You need to be able to do those things. I think just this kind of this generation, so many parents are so careful to protect their kids from every little thing and doing things for them.
Oh,
and
God, it's insane.
I don't have the energy for that. And maybe if I were a younger parent, I might be more the kind of person that kind of stands over and does all of the things, but I'm too old and I have too many kids. So you're going to have to work it out, make it happen, because I don't have the energy for it. I don't want to make your lunch anymore. I'm not going to walk you into school 6 days. I'm just not going to do that. Like, yeah. I have other things to do, and you need to learn how to be self-sufficient, and you need to learn to do that on your own.
Yeah.
You know, like this, the new Nike commercial with Serena Williams that they debuted it during the Oscars. And so it's talking about, it's obviously female driven, but it shows you all of these female athletes that are doing things that people said was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a girl in a wheelchair doing the, I guess, triathlon or whatever. There's a little girl playing football. There's, you know, a girl with one leg, like running a marathon. And then she tells, you know, details out all of those things. And then she says, and they talk about how when girls get upset, we're emotional or we're, you know, losing it. Of course, when a man does it, it's like, oh, he's angry and he's passionate. And but when
he's sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When girls do it, we're crazy and you're
unable to contain ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they show a tennis player, not Serena, another tennis player slamming her racket on the ground when she misses the ball. And then she talks about the very end of it. She says something about her winning however many national championships, whatever, taking time off to have a baby and then coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that was crazy. And then at the end, the tagline is, show them how crazy you can be.
Huh.
So after I saw that commercial when Sydney came home from school that day, I said, come here, I want you to see something. So I showed her the commercial. And she, it's funny because she's so strong-willed mm-hmm. and so, she's such a big personality, but when she sees things like that, it kind of not embarrasses her, but I think she doesn't really know kind of how to react.
Right.
So she looked at it and I said, what do you think about that? And she's like, it's cool. She kind of leans toward me and she gives me a hug and she lays her head on my shoulder. And I said, that's right. I said, now every time I tell you to be a badass, the next line is show them what you're crazy can be.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Sometimes I get a little bit torn on how I feel about this whole women empowerment thing. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to some extent, things have gone a little bit overboard.
Yeah, I think
and not necessarily with that, the girl empowerment thing, but like the Scouts of America. Mm-hmm. I don't see a real problem with having Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe they do. I don't know. I'm not educated about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference between the two. Uh-huh. But why can't boys have their thing and why can't girls have their thing sometimes?
Well, I will.
Sometimes.
Okay, I get that. I totally understand that. But I will tell you the difference with the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. And I just know this because, one, we have friends that are in Scouts. And then Miles just recently joined the Boy Scouts. Uh-huh. So the Boy Scouts is a very family-driven organization. Mm-hmm. And the Girl Scouts is very just girl-driven.
Okay.
So when Sydney's troop does stuff, it's really just like the girls and their troop leader. And occasionally you'll have a parent come along if they need an extra chaperone or whatever.
Right.
But when Boy Scouts have stuff, the whole family is there.
Okay.
Moms and dads and sisters and brothers and siblings, and whether they're in Scouts or not, they're there.
Okay.
And they're participating. So when the Boy Scouts go on a camp out, it's like a family camp out.
Okay. Well, then that makes a little bit more sense then.
So really, it wasn't so much about having to include, not necessarily to be inclusive, but the girls are already there doing all the things that the boys are doing, too. So they might as well get credit for
it. That makes sense, then. Yeah.
Kind of how that came to be. Plus, the Boy Scouts do cooler stuff. You get to learn how to shoot a gun, and you get to archery. And the Girl Scout stuff, especially at the early ages, is lots of arts and craft crap. And, mm-hmm. like, some of the camps that they have are, like, fairy blah 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 and princess blah blah blah, and I don't have any problem with that. I am a girly girl and princess and tiara and all right. that good stuff, but they don't really offer as much of the, I guess, kind of activity stuff.
They don't really give them the chance to be a whole lot outside of the prince. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I get that. I get that,
but I do understand, like, I don't think everything needs to be co-ed.
Raising your baby gender neutral. Yes, I don't get it. There's no shame in having an identity and doing what you do. Anyway, that's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But
yeah, I think it just, especially for raising girls now who just have no concept of anything other than girls are the same as everybody else. Mm-hmm. We have the same opportunities. Like, it blows Sydney's mind. There's never been a female president. That is mind-boggling to her. The idea that at one point women could not vote is just...
Yeah.
She has no concept of that. She has no concept of women not being allowed to work. She has no concept of women being shamed for being single mothers, choosing to be single. She just has no concept of those things because she's being raised in a world now where... you make your decisions and that's what it is.
Right.
So I think that's a big part of it too, is just trying to find that balance of encouraging her to be who she wants to be without making her feel like she's better than the boys.
That makes sense. You know, you're saying all that, and all I can think about is she better not get too stuck in the idea that everybody's the same and everybody's equal, because the way that we're going right now, we might, before 2020 hits, we might have suffrage again. You know, it's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy to, I read some of the stuff that I see, and this is a political tangent that I probably ought not get on, but I'm going to anyway, just because I think that what you're saying is so, it makes everything so clear to me in my head. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it, though. Like, it's crazy to me to see an article that says, okay, Texans are split 48% mm-hmm. on whether or not we should have a border wall. Mm-hmm. The thought that we would physically build something to keep people out, mm-hmm. going back to like the Berlin Wall or whatever, mm-hmm. going in reverse in the times and the progress that we've made is insane to mm-hmm. me. And it's scary to me. I can't talk about politics with my family.
Yeah.
Because we have very different opinions on things. Mm-hmm. And I cannot, for the life of me, no matter how hard I try, I cannot accept the fact that we're so different. Mm-hmm. I can respect it to some extent,
right?
Just because that's your right, whatever, mm-hmm. but I can't respect it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is, for me, raising a child or raising children that just because something doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
So my kids all have friends who have same-sex parents.
Well, that's cool.
They all do. And they don't think it's weird. They don't think it's not normal. They don't think it, they don't think it's different.
And that's
good.
They
just think that she has two moms or she has two dads or, but even if we have friends that have opposite religious views, I just explain, well, as Catholics, we believe this and their religion, they believe that. And that's the end of it. There's not, they're wrong because, or we're right because we just believe different things.
You know what? This is going to sound awful too, especially coming from somebody who is of my orientation, whatever. But I almost feel like to some extent that inclusion is almost forced in a way. And I'm not a fan of it. I don't love the fact that pretty much any TV show that I turn on nowadays has a same-sex couple. And I get it. I get that it's the reality of the situation now, and they want to make sure that they touch on everybody and they have everybody's storyline. But come on. We don't have to make such an... and this sounds, again, it sounds terrible.
I get it, but because it's not the forefront.
Right.
It's not the forefront of everything.
It's like they're being forced to do these things and add these storylines, no matter how weak or how strong it may be.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. And there's no real balance. I get what you're saying. Like, growing up and reading an eighth grade history or whatever it might have been, having some older woman stand there and tell me that 40 years ago people weren't allowed to do this and this and this, it doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that you don't see, the things that you don't witness, the things that you don't experience, it's not going to seem real to you.
Right.
But I forgot where I was going with that, if I'm being completely honest with you. But I get where Sydney's coming from. It's hard to understand that your reality now has not always been everybody's reality, and there's a very good chance it's not going to be the reality forever.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that the people who are hardcore about thinking everything is bad and it should only be one way, those people are going to die soon.
You know?
And that the ones that we're raising now, there's more of us than there are of them, and it's somehow going to balance out.
I hope so. God, I hope so. Because I've had some conversations lately that I just, after it's over, I'll take a step back and I'll think, did that really just happen? Did those words really just come out of that person's mouth?
Yep.
And I know it's because I think that my opinions are right. Yeah. And my opinions are the way that things should be. Mm-hmm. And I know that that doesn't make their opinions wrong, but they are.
Yeah.
You know, they are.
Right.
Legitimately, if you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you are a Trump supporter, your beliefs are wrong. And I'm just going to stand here and tell you that now. And that's something, that's a conversation that I have with some friends that have a little bit of money. You know, they voted for Trump because taxes were killing them. And in a way now, I send texts all the time. I'm like, and you voted for this man after all the lies and all the things? And I should really shut up before I really put my foot in my mouth more. But I can't. I cannot have an educated, unemotional conversation about that man. I can't.
It's a different world, Shannon. It's a different world than I think I thought we would be. Like, this is not where we thought we were going to be when we were 20.
You know what? It's not where I thought we were going to be about 10 years ago.
That too.
When I went and voted for Barack Obama and then he was elected president.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a sign that the world was changing.
Yep.
And then with the whole congressional things that we voted for not too long ago with Beto O'Rourke, I thought there's no way this guy's not going to win. I saw his bumper stickers everywhere. That was the only candidate that I saw everywhere. And I'm like, there's no way he can lose. And then he did.
Yep.
And I don't get it. And I'm sorry if you're angry at me right now for not loving Trump. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, they'll get over
but
it.
But maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. If they love Trump, I don't know why they're listening to us.
Or they're going to go and throw a tantrum and declare a national emergency on something.
See you later, alligator.
Guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Goodbye.